prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, it seems this man and his wife were out having lunch at a buffet. And the whole time they were having lunch, she kept nagging him because he kept going back up to get more food from the buffet table. She'd say to him, "Don't embarrass me. You take so much food and it's just an embarrassment. People are talking about you." And he said, "Fine, fine." And then a little later on in the meal, she started nagging him again. She said to him, when he came back to the table, she said to him, "That is the third time you have gone for dessert. People are going to think you're a pig." He said to her, "No, they won't. I told them I was getting it all for you." Which leads us to our ninth commandment in our series on the commandments. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Sometimes people take this commandment to be very literally what it says, in that you shouldn't testify in court against your neighbor, at least falsely. But I really think it applies to every aspect of our life. Speaking the truth, not lying. And I'll be honest with you, like every other commandment we've talked about it, this is hard to do. How often does somebody say to you, "How are you today?" And you say, "I'm fine." And you're not. That's not exactly speaking the truth. Oftentimes we'll do that because we really don't want to get into a conversation with them about it. Because maybe it's none of their business. And we don't want to be rude. Oftentimes some of the little things we'll say to people will be just to spare their feelings. And I can't help but think that that's okay, because it's important that we look out for one another, that we take care of one another. Not that I'm advocating being untruthful, but I think there's a little difference in there between being right and being compassionate. I remember just a few days before my father died, we were visiting him in the nursing home, and this one day, all of a sudden, he was being a little more coherent than he normally was, at least in that he was using words. And I remember coming in, and my mom and I think one of my brothers were there and sitting with him and talking, and he was sitting up in bed, and he hadn't done that in quite a while, and he told me that there was a jug of milk under the cellar steps, and that needed to go up onto the roof. And there were some other things he wanted. There were some things that needed to be put back on the shelves in the garage. And there was also under the cellar steps, there was a sack of damp potatoes, and I was to use those potatoes to avenge his father's death. And none of this made any sense to me. But I said to him, "I'll take care of it, Dad." And I remember a little later, my mom saying to me, "Why did you lie to your father?" I'm like, would it have been more compassionate of me to say, "Dad, you're talking crazy," than to say, "I'll take care of it"? Because there wasn't any milk under the cellar steps, and I couldn't find a damp sack of potatoes, and my grandfather died in 1942, so I wouldn't know who to avenge his death with. We seek truth. And I think that more often than not, we endeavor to speak the truth. But we live in a world where it seems we are encouraged to break this commandment. Especially this time of the year. Normally, if you say something about somebody that's a lie, that's slander. But did you know, and I found this quite fascinating, if one politician can say anything they want to about another politician, whether it's true or false, and it is not a crime. Well, we could say horrible lies about one another. We could get into trouble for it. But politicians seem to be exempt from this. It's hard to know what the truth is coming from anybody's mouth. Years ago, I worked in outside sales. We used to sell things door to door. And there were a few days where I went out with another fellow, and we were selling pizza door-to-door, hot pizza. We bought stacks of pizza from this little pizza shop that we had convinced the guy to open early on these days just to make pizzas for us, for this company. And we would go out with probably 10 or 15 pizzas at a time, sell them door-to-door. And the fellow that I was out with, I could not help but notice that about every other place, any time there was like the slightest bit of hesitation where it looked like the person was trying to make up their mind, he would lie to them about something. Because to be honest with you, the place where we were, the place where we were actually selling the pizzas, was outside of the delivery area from where the pizzas were coming from. It had the name of the company and the telephone number of the pizza parlor on the boxes. And somebody would say, well, I've never heard of this place. And this gentleman would say, well, they just opened up in the area. When in reality, we had driven half an hour to get to that neighborhood. He would tell them stories about if you called this number, and this was not their regular phone number, but if you called this number, you'd be able to get a discount on more pizzas. And I just stood there and listened to him. I never corrected him, and I'm sure I should have, because more often than not, the person would end up buying the pizza. Now, it was good pizza, but they were being lied to. I didn't stop them. It's so hard to be sure who we can trust. And again, this comes down to the notion, as Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments, the second half of the Ten Commandments, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If we can keep from spreading lies about people, is it not because we would like them to not be spreading lies about us? If we do not lie to other people, could it not be because we don't want them to lie to us? We get suspicious. We question people's motives. I know for a fact that there have been many times in my life I've been scammed, again, because people lie. I'm not sure about people lying about me. It may happen. I'm not certain. But I know there have been times I've been talking to somebody, and somebody will say to me, hey, I was talking with somebody else about you. I heard something about you from somebody else. And, you know, typically when we hear something like that, we'll respond with, well, you shouldn't believe everything you hear, because we immediately think the worst is being said about us. I think more often than not, when somebody says something like that to me, I say to them, it's all true. As in an earlier commandment, we are told not to defame the name of God. Likewise here, we're being told not to defame one another's names. I think that's kind of an interesting comparison. Remember, the things we say about God, the things, you know, when we are told not to use the Lord's name in vain. Here we're being asked not to use one another's names in vain. What we say sometimes about other people can reflect on us as well. And sometimes it's important the way we talk about other people, to do so with love. And sometimes, now, I've been in churches where this has actually happened, where sometimes gossip, that is another form of violating this commandment, I believe, gossiping about somebody, has been used through prayer. Like, publicly, a prayer concern will be lifted for so-and-so because of this. It's just an opportunity to start a story about somebody. So I'm glad more often than not, when we have our prayer concerns, and I think it is important that we lift prayer concerns about people, more often than not, we're just praying over a name. Because quite honestly, a lot of what may be wrong with some of these people, and I really don't know much about too many of these people that we pray for other than that they need prayer, and that's good enough for me. But I'm sure we could tell stories. And maybe what's actually wrong with some of these people is none of our business. I mean, I know there have been years and times in the past where our family has had some financial problems, and we've had some health problems, and we've had people pray for us, but not specifically. I mean, specifically for us, but not the reasons. We sometimes don't share those reasons because, quite honestly, it's nobody's business, but we're kept in prayer. And I think sometimes that's important for us as Christians to remember to do that when we are praying for other people. If somebody says, can you pray for such and so for me? Do you push and ask why? Or if you are looking for prayer for someone, do you sometimes give too much information? You know, I like to know specifically why I am praying for somebody. And I like to know why, and I like to know when that prayer is answered. But sometimes I don't need to know. Sometimes I don't need to know. I know in where we have church in the morning, we have a prayer time where the praise singers are singing songs, and we have chairs set up in the back. And if someone needs prayer, they can go into the back and have a prayer partner, and the two of them will pray together. Because when we do the asking for names for people to pray for, sometimes that can get a little drawn out. And, you know, while it is good to know these things and to have people to pray for, our time there is very limited. And I like being back there and praying with people, but sometimes they start talking about people. And it's all in the guise of, you know, let's pray for so-and-so. Let me tell you why. Our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. While we are talking about not lying, let's more specifically now address telling the truth. And I look at this passage, something else I noticed I wanted to point out, that a lot of times in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is what we will come to know as the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself says in that passage that he is the truth. I think when we speak the truth, we can do that talking about God. We can speak the truth by sharing the gospel. Is that not truth? And again, I will point out, as I often do, to check up on what I say. Because I know there are preachers out there, particularly on TV and on the radio, who do not always tell the truth. I'm not going to name any names today. But I have heard preachers on TV and on the radio that, quite honestly, I don't know where they're getting some of the things they talk about. They're certainly not getting them from the Bible, and I ask that I be checked up on as well. If you ever find me saying something that isn't right, call me on it. Again, I'll point out on the front of the bulletin, there's two phone numbers. The top one is for if you have complaints about me. There are two phone numbers on the bulletin, aren't there? Yeah, okay. I don't want to be wrong. The bottom one's my cell phone number. You call that if you want to talk to me. You call that if you're in the hospital and you need me to come and you want me to come visit you. The top one, you call that if you have complaints. You can call the bottom one if you want to complain too, but that's the top one's if you're really complaining about me. But we need to remember to speak truth and to speak truth in love. I agree that I think it is more important to be compassionate than right. I know my friend Pastor Tom often tells a story, and I guess he runs into this a lot more often than I do, because I've never really run into this. I guess, fortunately, I haven't done enough funerals. But Pastor Tom is a hospice chaplain. I'm blanking on that word. So he does like 3 or 4 funerals a week. But he says every once in a while he'll be talking with someone in one of these families, and they'll address to him the fact that, well, you know, I know my loved one who passed, I'm sure now that they've got beautiful angel wings. And he will just nod his head and say, yes, I'm sure they're beautiful. There was a time I would have been more interested in being truthful with that person and explain to them the fact that, well, when we die, we don't become angels. Angels are their own creation. God created the angels and he created us. And when we die, we don't become angels. But a person in grief doesn't want to hear that. But he was recently telling the story where that same kind of thing happened with a young man. And later in the day, after the service, they were having lunch together. And he was sitting with him and explained to him, you know, I wanted to tell you this. I didn't think you were ready to hear it before, but I wanted to tell you now that when we die, we don't become angels. When we go to heaven, we rule over the angels. And this young man said, I didn't know that. And he said, well, isn't that better? You see, he took his moment to be truthful. He was compassionate, then took his moment to be truthful, or his moment to be right. So when I was younger, I was so much more interested in being right. I thought it was better to be right all the time, at any cost. It is important to be truthful. It is important not to lie. Again, it comes down to our character. What kind of person are we? And again, what will we stand for? All those years ago when I was selling pizzas door to door, I should have spoken up, if for nothing else than to be honest. I could never bring myself to tell the stories that this man was telling me that I should be telling, but I should have spoken up and stopped him. Again, we all fall short. We all sin. The Ten Commandments are there to point that out to us. They are not there to save us. They are there to point out our faults to us, the things we cannot stop doing. I know there have been times in the job I work in the day where my managers have asked me to lie to customers. I won't. I think I'm feeling conviction now that if that happens again, my current manager has never asked me to do that, but if for some reason that kind of thing should happen again, I'm going to stand up taller and not only say, no, I won't do it, but I'm going to say, you know what, you're wrong to tell me to. You're wrong to expect it of me. It comes to what will we stand for? Not just what will we do, but what will we stand for? Do we stand on the side of truth? God tells us that He is a God of truth. Jesus tells us that He is the truth itself. Do we stand for it, or do we stand for something less? Amen.
Who can live in Your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on Your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Before I move on to the benediction, I want to point out that we've got one commandment left in our Ten Commandments. But next week, since it's coming up on kind of a special event, that being the election, I'm going to stray away from the Ten Commandments for 1 week and tell you all who to vote for. Well, that's not a promise, but that's my intention. I can change my mind at the last minute. The benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And again, our good and final word is forgiveness. We have forgiveness available to us. And again, these are things that are matters of character, I believe. Anybody here ever make a New Year's resolution and keep it? There's a song I keep listening to. It's on a CD I really like, where I think the line is, it's New Year's Eve again, and I'm full of empty promises I half intend to keep, just like last year. Well, I've been staying away from New Year's resolutions for a long time, although if any of you remember, this last year, I actually did make a New Year's resolution, and my resolution was for this year to try to be a better man. To try to be a better man. And I know that, you know, going through the Ten Commandments, as we've been going through the Ten Commandments, I'm looking at them and I'm seeing more fault with myself than I knew was there before. I mean, I know I'm flawed, but I'm seeing more now than I did before. And I'm trying to correct the errors I have made in my life, the errors I continue to make. I am trying to be a better man. I'm failing sometimes, but I think I'm doing a little better than I have been. And I hope as we've been going through the Ten Commandments, you've been pondering them as well. And I hope that in your lives, you're able to be better, to make these matters of character count. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, be blessed, and know that you are forgiven. Amen.